Congregation, a preparatory service this morning. What is a preparatory service again? Could you come up with 4 points? What's the sense of having a preparatory service and sermon? What's the reason? Well, four at least. In the first place, to keep certain people off, so they would not attend. They have no grace, no new heart, no true faith. Please don't. So the sense, the purpose of a preparatory sermon is, in the first place, to keep people away from the table. Secondly, to also let others know that they have grace, to make clear you have a right. You may attend. You may, in spite of all your sins, in the third place also to encourage those. Because God's children may know and still feel so discouraged, so focused on self and sin in the past, and then they're so discouraged, so downhearted, to encourage them. But also in the fourth place, make jealous that certain people, that people not knowing the Lord may feel, I miss something, I need something, I like something, I want something, the hunger and the thirst may be given. So if we connect this with the theme of bread, to keep people away from the bread, to show people they have a right to the bread, to encourage to take the bread, and for others, that they may begin to hunger for the bread. That ties in with our chapter this morning, John 6. It's all about the bread, the living bread, the true bread. Let's especially focus on verse 51. Verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So far, Christ, the living bread. 5 thoughts also from the wider context. In the first place, Christ multiplying bread. The chapter begins with a miracle, right? The Lord Jesus multiplied bread. Secondly, Christ pointing to a different bread. I like to show something of the verses 26 and 27. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Thirdly, Christ drawing to the bread. Christ's Father, rather, drawing to the bread. We see that in verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. In the fourth place, Christ's flesh is the bread. And that's what we see in verse 51. His flesh. He gives his flesh. And in the fifth place, Christ eaten as bread. To eat him, because his flesh is meat indeed. So Christ, the living bread. Christ multiplying bread. Christ pointing to a different bread. Christ's Father drawing to the bread. Christ's flesh is the bread. And Christ eaten as bread. Congregation, John 6 is a sermon of the Lord Jesus himself about the bread. Very applicable to the Lord's Supper. The holy bread. But before the Lord Jesus began to preach, the day before, he performed the miracle regarding bread. Let me tell you first a few details of that miracle. Children, are you listening? Thousands of people following the Lord Jesus Christ. More than 5,000. A crowd, a large crowd, all so curious. He's able to heal the sick. He's able to give eyesight to them that are blind. Their lame can walk again. They're so excited, so curious, so drawn to the Lord, they were following him. Thousands. This man was the Messiah. This was sensational. But they were also puzzled and curious and want to know more about that. And the Lord Jesus saw them coming, went to him. A large crowd of people. And he saw also that they were hungry. That they had nothing to eat. They didn't think about taking their lunch and their dinner along. So they were suffering and tired. And the Lord Jesus, he felt an urgency to do something. He was filled with compassion for the natural needs of the people. And he talked to Philip. Philip was local in Bethsaida. Philip, how can we feed those people? Such a large crowd. And Philip thinks a little while and says, impossible. 200 pence worth of food, that's $30,000. And where do we find a baker? Where do we find a restaurant? Where do we find an inn? Impossible. And the Lord Jesus was testing him. Philip, what can we do? From whence shall we get bread? And Philip, he did not express his faith. He did not say, the Lord knows, the Lord can provide. He said, impossible, kind of. And then we see another man coming up, Andrew. He is a lad. He's a boy. He's 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. What is that among so many? That's nothing. How can you possibly feed such a large crowd with 5 barley loaves? Meant to eat for the poor, for the animals, and only 2 fishes. But the Lord Jesus said, sit down on the grass. It was not rocky ground, it was grass, lots of grass in that area. So the people were sitting down, and the Lord Jesus took the bread, and he broke it. And he kept breaking it, and he put it in baskets. And the whole crowd was satisfied. It's amazing. Look at verse 11 of this chapter. And Jesus took the loaves, and they had given thanks. He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Do you need more? Need seconds? There's more. As much as you want. In verse 12, when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. So the Lord Jesus fed them all. They were all filled. They received as much as they would. There were leftovers. So there's an emphasis on the abundance of food the Lord Jesus provides to the crowd. That's the background. Let's think about that. Oh, the goodness of the Lord. That he saw that he had compassion to the people. He saw the people. He felt their need also, their natural needs, and he fed them. Let me say this, congregation. The Lord Jesus didn't only come for spiritual needs, also for daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. That's not too small for the Lord. their daily needs and cares, financial, health-wise, you name it, let us bring before the Lord. Also, the Lord Jesus Christ, be encouraged that the Lord is able also to heal and to make it well. Goodness, all the ability of the Lord. As a minister, you sometimes feel on the pulpit, have only 5 barley loaves. That's not enough for this last crowd. I can't preach with only 2 fish. That impossibility. And the Lord can multiply it also in church. The words, give it the opening, encouraging. It's all here in this text. But also for those who think it's not enough. It's not enough for me. I've sinned too much. I'm too worldly, I'm too hard. It's so impossible for me. You think so small of the Lord's mercies. His abundance, they were all filled. They received as much as they would, the leftovers. So what hinders you to seek the Lord? Some people say, I'm not going to seek the Lord. It's not enough. It's only for a few. It's for God's people, I know. But look at this. Abundance, leftovers, there's enough. You can never say it was not enough in God's house. Plenty. So the Lord Jesus, he multiplied the bread so that people could see it visibly. And so the Lord also, the Lord's Supper next week, the Lord willing, shows you visibly. If he wants to break the bread, there's plenty also at the table. That is enough for the grace of the sinners. That we have no reason to seek salvation in self. There is nothing in self. It's all in another, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Multiplying the bread. Let's go to the second thought. Pointing to a different bread. So the Lord Jesus was exalted by the crowd. They wanted to crown him. They wanted to make him king over Israel. And the Lord Jesus said, no, there's not the time yet. And he escaped. But the next day they found him again. And they were seeking him again. Look at verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him has God the Father sealed. Let me summarize this. They came to the Lord Jesus, so curious. We found him again. How did the Lord Jesus come here? Rabbi. And the Lord Jesus said, you seek me, but I know why you seek me. You don't seek me because you believe in me. You don't see the Messiah in me, really. But you want to be filled. You want to be satisfied. You want food. You want an easy life. We'd like the things of this life. You're so focused on here and now, on this world. Ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles. Not the miracles. But because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled, that good feeling, you are seeking the Lord Jesus selfishly, in a worldly sense, for your lusts, for yourself. You don't get the point. See that? Ye seek me not because ye believe in me. That's possible also today. That people see the Lord in a selfish way. They seek the Lord for his help in this life. so horizontal, not for the soul, not for the sin, not for the guilt, for themselves, in an earthly way. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. You know, that's our life by nature, right? So busy all the time. So focused on here and now and this life and its riches and responsibilities, this life. What a warning. Labor not. You know what happens when the Lord gives a new heart? You see it. What do you see? That you have been laboring your whole life for what? Have been busy with so many things. For what reason? Being so selfish, all for yourself, for your happiness, for your worldly desires. And you receive that you're such a fool. You have been laboring for the meat that perisheth. You cannot take it along. You have to leave it behind. You can't take it along to eternity. You had nothing in your hands when you were born. And you cannot take anything out of you when you leave this life. You know about that? Have you seen what a fool we are by nature? Seeking the meat which perisheth. And did the Lord change it around? For the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. That's a major change of heart, right? A different direction, different hunger. Instead of hungry for money and honor and whatever it is in this life, you begin to hunger for the Lord himself and his salvation. So what is your life? Your children know it. Do you have children? They see it. My dad is so fond of, he's so excited about, my mom is all about. It's all about what? Our children see it, the Lord sees it. This life, right, by nature. Let me confirm this with Scripture. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So empty, so futile, something so worthless. Or think of Philippians 2. For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ's. When the Lord opens your eyes, you see it. I have been seeking my own things in this entire life. I've been such a fool all those years. Whose end is destruction, whose God's their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. There are arrows flying through the church now. Who mind earthly things. Is that you? Seek for the meat which perisheth. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Labor not for, but labor for another life. Labor for the other meat which endureth forever. Labor? Yes. This word for God's people to keep laboring, striving, seeking, also for the unconverted ones. Make your chief goal, seek the Lord, labor, strive, fight, the good fight. Not filling your stomach with earthly things, but seeking the bread, like the Lord Jesus born in Bethlehem, right? That's what it points to. The Lord Jesus points to himself. He is the bread of life. And Bethlehem means house of bread, right? So there's bread in God's house, in Bethlehem is bread, in the manger is bread. The Lord Jesus said, do not lay for this life's treasures, for the treasure in heaven, for the kingdom of God. True bread. Look at verse 31. 35, I mean. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. What a message. The Lord Jesus indicating, underlining it also this morning hour, I am. You need me. You need the bread of life. I can give you life. You're so dead, so guilty, so worthless of, so unworthy of life, so hell worthy. But there's life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the bread of life. Now look at verse 51, our verse. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. You know, when you read this chapter over this afternoon, you probably don't want to underline with a pencil in their Bible. You can make a list of them, of those expressions from heaven. From heaven, from heaven. So repetitive. I think it's 7-8 times in this chapter. The bread from heaven. Manna came from the Father. And the Lord Jesus said, I came from heaven. I am given by the Father as the only bread. Has he become the only bread? Have you become hungry, thirsty for the living God? That emptiness, that pain, that mourning, that, O Lord, be merciful to a sinner, and laboring hard, laboring to seek your own salvation, and then seeing that your labors don't do it. And then to seek salvation only in the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ given from the Father, has he become your bread? He's the only bread. We have to seek him alone. Nothing else suffices. He's the only food for the soul. Meat, bread, food, all the same word. The Lord Jesus said, I am the food. If you're hungry, you need me. I am the bread of life. So God's children struggle with that often, that they try to find some bread in other things, in their tears, in their impressions, in their holiness, in the prayers, and they cannot provide any meat. There's no meat in there. I am the bread of life. We need to eat him. So the Lord Jesus multiplied the bread. The Lord Jesus also pointed to the bread. I am the bread of life. And the Lord Jesus also indicated his Father draws to the bread. Third point. Look at verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me. That's election, right? From eternity, the Father has given his Son, the Church, and all of them will come. All that the Father give me shall come to me. And that's the reason why they come. Well, look at verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Or look at verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father, cometh unto me. And also in verse 65, quite repetitive, for a reason. And he said therefore, say unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. It's everywhere in this sermon. Lord Jesus saying, you don't want it. I notice it. You live for a different life. You live for different meat. I am the true bread. You don't want me. You don't believe in me. You can't. But all that the Father has given me shall come to me. Quite humbling, right? We fell so deep that we can hear it hundreds and thousands, 10,000 times. I am the bread of life. Your life perishes. You're a sinner. You can hear it. And you don't hear it. We resist it with all our might. We don't want to listen to this. It's our defile, our state of death through our fallen paradise. It's also in John 8 and John 12. You know, some may say, Reverend, skip this part. So discouraging. I don't want to hear too much about election. Leave it alone, that part. No. The Lord Jesus spoke about it so clearly and in a repetitive way. In this chapter, he had to. And we have to, congregation, if we are obedient to the word, we have to also underline this. So also those verses from 8 and 12. Why do ye not understand my speech? Why? Eve, because ye cannot hear my word. You have no ears. Or 12. That the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, may be fulfilled when he spake, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said this again. So there is an impossibility to believe. Exit Lord draws. And you know, some people in church this morning say, yes, yes, I know this from experience. He began to draw me. I did not want it, but he changed my desires. He gave me a hunger. He gave me a thirst. He drew me out of the miry clay to that most wondrous work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father drew him. This is not to discourage anyone, to give honor to the Lord, and to give a mark to God's people. He drew me. He was first. And when the Lord comes, he draws. How? You tell me. The Lord applies his word. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, and it hits your heart, and you become such a fool of yourself. You begin to repent of your sinful life. Labor not. And he begins to draw. He shows you that bread of life. You feel only death in yourself, and he draws you. He says, come, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And something is pulling on your soul, your heart. Your life changes dramatically. And what was the desire before is not so much the desire anymore. Different desires, different likings. What did it say? All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. So not some of God's people will, all of them. When the Father draws them, he brings them all to him, to his Son, all to the bread of life. So it's not so you can say some of God's people know something about Christ, others don't know anything about Christ. You can't say that. All that the Father give me shall come to me. the Lord Jesus said, I will see them all. They come out, they all come at my feet. They don't stop halfway, they all come to my feet. The Father draws them to me. It becomes so impossible that they must find the Savior, Jesus Christ. They cannot miss me anymore. They come to me. That's how the Father teaches them, as is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. When the Lord teaches, then they learn things, right? Every man therefore has heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. It's so, again, repetitive in this chapter. They come to me. They come to me. If it's through the true work of the Lord, they come to me. They can't keep away from me. They begin to seek me and to labor for the things of life. So not to discourage anyone. You cannot say, well, I will sit back and wait until the Lord draws me. And as long as the Lord does not draw me, I have no responsibilities. No, you cannot say that. The Lord says, labor. Labor not for this, labor for that. Seek the Lord and live, right? But you know, some of you may say, something changed in my life. I was just a nominal Christian, still sitting in church, enjoying some sermons, most of them not, and I just lived my life, and seeking the meat that perisheth, and then a sermon, a text, a witness of God's people worried me, began to worry me, became to bother me. Things changed around. I came to my wit's end. I saw my sins and my hell-worthiness. And the Lord showed me something of His salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. What is that? I'll tell you what it is. It is the Father drawing you. He draw you. He was first. If you have been led through your sins and misery to that salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not your work. It's the work of the Father. He drew you. He taught you. He brings you to that place. All that the Father gave me shall come unto me. So the bread multiplied. The bread pointed out to living bread. The bread drawn to, third thought. Fourth thought is, Christ flesh the bread. Congregation, Christ called Himself first the living bread. I am the bread. I came from heaven. I am the gift of God. And when the Lord draws you, you will come to me. And they murmured. They said, what? We know His Father and Mother. And he's the bread of life. He came from heaven. That's quite something to state. And the Lord Jesus replied to that. 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus answered, murmur not among yourselves, no man can come to me. See? There's one issue. The Lord Jesus, I am the bread of life. But then the Lord deepens the thought, leads them further, and shows them that he is more than that. Verse 51, last part. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world, So that there's no thought the Lord Jesus didn't only say, I'm bread of life, that my flesh is the meat. So the Lord Jesus shows something else. His human nature, right? Flesh and blood. He didn't only come to save, not only come to do wonders, to teach, to comfort. He came to die. He gave his flesh, gave his blood. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? What does that mean, his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. The Lord Jesus had to die for that. And that's the Lord's Supper, right? The Lord's Supper is not only about the Lord Jesus saying, I'm the life, I'm the bread, I'm the comforter, I'm the Savior. He said, I'm the flesh. This is my body broken for you. That's because we sinned against Almighty God, the Holy God. And there was no other way of salvation than absorbing the wrath of God into his flesh, in the human nature. He took upon himself blood and flesh from the Virgin Mary and lived a life in obedience, had to die. Some of God's children are not so far yet. They know their sins. They know their impossibilities. They also know something about the Savior and something about there's life in him. He's the bread. He's my bread. Some faith. But it says, my flesh. Don't get it yet. Intellectually, maybe, but it does not make sense to them yet. And so the Lord leads them further to show them his salvation in his death. And that paid the price. That was the ransom the Lord Jesus paid, his blood. And that's precious also. That's what the Lord Jesus wants to teach his children at the table next week. Not only that he's the bread, but his flesh is. Not your flesh needs to be wounded, my flesh. Not your blood needs to be given, my blood. It is about substitution. Instead of his flesh, his blood, instead of ours, what a blessing. That's meat indeed. That's the true meat, that's the heart of it. Indeed, meat, that's the drink, indeed. Ask the Lord for more insight into that. What does it say at the end of verse 51? And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. What does that mean? Is that universalism? Is that the Lord Jesus has given his life to save all people? Does not make sense in the context. This word world must refer to the elect. He gave his life, his flesh, for the life of the world. Very, very, very clear in the context. It refers to them given by the Father. But why is it then the world here? Why does it not say, I will give for the life of my people? Three thoughts. It says world here to exclude nobody beforehand. So you can say, well, it's not for me. The church is also the world in itself, right? Brings to the second thought. The elect are meant here, but they are also world themselves. Not any better than anyone else. They can't say, well, I'm not the world. They experience it even. The third reason. They feel the world. So three reasons why it says, worldly, not my people, to not exclude anyone, to show that God's people are also the world, themselves, by grace only, no difference. And in the third place, to encourage God's people. They see and feel the world in their own hearts. Have you heard of Colbrugge? Reverend Colbrugge? He said about John 3:16, but the same world is. He said, if he would have said, so God loved his people, well then, the Pharisee would have said, yes, 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 yes. The Lord loves his people, that's me. But now it says, he loves the world. The Pharisees say, no, that's not me. And them that feel the world and are one bunch of the world, he says, they are comforted, right? And so in our text, I will give my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So you're going to say, oh, if that's true, then it's possible for me as well, because I feel so often the world. Last thought. Christ eaten as bread. What's so important experientially in this chapter is the Lord teaches his people, taught by the Lord, drawn by the Lord, drawn by his almighty hand, irresistibly with the law and the gospel. It's so important to be made hungry and thirsty for the living bread. But more. Let's start with verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What would you answer? Again, the question for the Lord Jesus. Then said they unto him, unto the Lord Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him, on whom he has sent. Faith is important. That's the eating, right? You have bread on the counter, on your plate, it's one thing. In your hand, it's closer. And now you have to eat it, right? In order to benefit from it. And that's also with this bread. It needs to be eaten. You need to believe in him. Believing is eating. So not only being hungry and thirsty, but also eat of the life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life. Raise him up the last day. Verse 56, he that eat my flesh, drink my blood. Again, very repetitive again. Emphasized, you have to eat his flesh. It's also called in verse 35 or 37 something else. And Jesus said unto them, I am bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on him shall never thirst. So two parallel lines. He that cometh to me, have you come? You're invited. You heard it. Have you learned to come? Have you been drawn by the Lord Jesus and brought at his feet? And have you eaten? Have you believed? Have you come to him? Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come, buy without money, without bread. Have you come? There was someone standing frozen, right? And he hears, come unto me. And then I see by God's grace someone is coming, drawn by the Lord. He comes, he comes. Have you come? He that eateth my flesh. Or 37, same word. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So have you come? You couldn't help it, but your legs started moving into the direction, and you came without money, without price, to receive wine and milk, to come. It's also next Sunday, right? If you have learned to come, you may come. If you have learned to eat, you may eat. If you learn to believe, you may come. Seek your salvation only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Lord's Supper next week, the Lord willing, are two things happening simultaneously. Remember that? If it's well, things happen simultaneously. I see a child who was sitting on a chair on the table, and he receives the bread out of the hand of the minister. He receives it. At the same time that he receives the bread, he receives the Lord Jesus in his heart, lifting up his heart to heaven. Faith is an exercise, I hope, and at the same time, at the self same time, he or she receives the bread. What an impressive thought. That's the purpose, to have that done simultaneously. And then he, she eats it. It becomes united with her, with him. It becomes one with you. At the same time, the Lord Jesus wants his people to be united with him, to eat him, to swallow him, to say, Lord, thou art mine, I eat thee. So do not only eat the bread, eat Christ, eat him, eat his flesh, drink his blood. That's the purpose. Ask the Lord for that. Look at verse 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. He dwells in me, and I in him. That's unison, right? So the Lord Jesus wants to be united with his people in faith, all at the table. Bread. I am the living bread. The Lord Jesus presents himself also this morning to us. I am the living bread, one of those seven or eight I am statements. I am the resurrection, I am the way, I am the life, the good shepherd. Here again, I am the living bread which came down from heaven as a gift from the Father, like manna in the wilderness. If any man, any man, doesn't matter how much you have sinned, how important it is on your side, how grossly you have sinned against God's commandments, if any man eat this bread, he shall live. He shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. May the Lord give us a true preparatory week to investigate, to research, to seek out for ourselves. Do we have a right to take the bread? Do I know about that? be encouraged, be prepared, and receive it with a loving heart to the glory of his name. Amen. Almighty Lord, may it please thee to bless the word. Make people hungry, Lord. They're so hard, be laboring so hard in the things of this life. May they come to a stop in a sense. May they begin to seek the Lord and labor for other things, for the meat that does not perish, but give everlasting life. Also, Lord, take the hands and hearts of thy people, draw them again, bring them again at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, cause them to come. Without money, without price, why do we spend money for that which is not bread? Oh, Lord, we ask thee, come with thy spirit. Forgive the shortcomings, Lord. Help also Brother Melders tonight, and he preaches here, for opening and thy help. In Jesus' name alone, amen.